Hello and welcome. It's hour number one of the podcast. Today's hour one, all about football, and in particular, that Monday night game. Did you watch the Chicago Bears and the LA Rams? The Bears hibernating. They were exposed as an imposter by the Rams, and that just tells part of the story. We have the palace intrigue during the TV broadcast. Brian Griese revealed a conversation that he had had with Nick Foles. And in that conversation, Nick Foles said that sometimes the Bears coaching staff calls in plays that he knows will not work. We have audio of that little rhubarb and more here in hour number one. It's coming your way right now. A hibernation situation in the NFL. Welcome in the beginning of another hour and another edition of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond as we bloviate the overnight hours away on the vast Fox Sports Radio Network, emanating live from inside the Magic Radio Box. And also in your head, we're in your eardrums, emanating from the Geico FSR. As soon as we're glad you have chosen to spend some time with us, we do appreciate it. So we begin with the Monday night game. The World Series was on a travel day. Not sure exactly where they traveled to, but they had the day off. And so there was no baseball to break down. We are still waiting the calm before the storm as the Dodgers attempt to win their first championship in 32 years against the Tampa Bay Rays and avoid the implosion that would be losing the final two games of the World Series to a ragtag Tampa Bay team. So plenty of time to get to that. We're going to focus in on Monday Night Football, the Rams, a couple of teams in the NFC that I believe are very similar. The Rams taking on the Chicago Bears. Now, the Rams humiliated in their last game against the 49ers, who mopped the field with the Rams. The Niners kicked their tail, but the Rams bouncing back in a large way against a Chicago team that just kept squeezing out victory after victory. I don't know if you saw the game or not. It was in the hood in Inglewood, the beautiful new stadium that has yet to have a fan attend it because of the coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic. So the stadium empty because it's in California. If it was in Texas or Florida, people would be able to safely attend the game. But in California, you cannot do that. Anyway, as for the game itself, Jared Goff tossing not one but two touchdowns. And the Rams defense stepping up. Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey and friends there keeping the Bears offense out of the end zone. And the Rams get a very comfortable 24-10 win, a shellacking of Chicago. Robert Woods, he had the miscue for the Rams. He fumbled. That was scooped up by Eddie Jackson there for the 8-yard return on the touchdown for Chicago. But the offense for the Bears did not get in the end zone. So both LA and Chicago find themselves with identical 5-2 records after the outcome of this Monday night game. Now, the better story, you know where the better story is. Say it with me now. In the losing locker room. That's right. The better story is in the losing locker room, and that would be the Chicago side of things. And before we pose a question, let's hear from some of the key participants here. Matt Nagy, the coach who's embattled is the right word. I think embattled, I think the coach of the Jets is embattled. Crazy eyes. I don't think Matt Nagy's embattled, but he does not have a firm grasp on the job. Anyway, here's Matt Nagy, the Bears coach, afterwards commenting on the defensive side of the game and how the defense embarrassed the Bears offense.
I have no idea, but I don't ever remember in having our own defense score more than our offense. That's hard to do. So that part I don't like, and that bothers me.
Yeah. All right. Now, let's jump ahead. Now, Nick Foles here, who started, we're going to talk about him quite a bit in the bulk of the monologue. Now, Nick Foles, actually, we'll save that. I want to save that one because that's pretty good. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to get into it right now. The question is, how should the Bears feel about their performance or lack thereof performance? Now, you heard the head coach, Matt Nagy, commenting on that to a point. So I've got Jat, Harvard, and Bermuda Triangle. And we will lock all of these things together. Now, number one, the band's a little slow. Number one, band's still not there.
Number one.
There we go. You could see the air coming out of the balloon for the guys from the Midwest there. It was an unsettling performance by Chicago. Now, even that, I believe, is an understatement. Now, look, I picked the Bears on Benny versus the Penny. I hoped I was wrong. I was happy I was wrong. But I did pick Chicago. Coming into the game, you figured the game would be close. Neither one of these teams is all that great. You figured it would be a fourth quarter game. It was not a fourth quarter game. The Rams were in firm control of this game by the time it got to the late stages of the third quarter. And Matt Nagy, who during the week has been getting agitated with members of the media who dared to question the legitimacy of Chicago's gaudy 5-1 record coming in. How could you possibly say that we're not as good as we are? You know, that kind of vibe from the coaching staff of Chicago. Now, even though I picked the Bears to cover the spread, the Rams were a favorite by a decent amount, I had a feeling that, like a poker player, they were bluffing. That, you know, 5-1 was great, now they're 5-2. But this Chicago team, the word imposter, they're imposters. That comes up there. And this Bears team that we saw on Monday night was what I call a jet. Just another team, right? Just another team. It was an offensive boondoggle. You heard Matt Nagy reference it, the Bears coach. And he's an offensive guy, supposedly. Just 279 yards of offense. 14 first downs. That's it. They practiced all week for 14 first downs. And they mixed equal parts penalty and untimely turnover into the goulash that they were making. And channeling the ghost of the late, great Dennis Green, coaching the Arizona Cardinals. It happened to be against the Bears. And he went on that rant. If you want to crown them, then crown their asses. But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook. A version of that, because the Bears are who we thought they were. Did not expect it to show up quite as loud as it did, but it's certainly what transpired in that Monday night game. Now, the second thing here. So Nick Foles continues to be exposed week after week. And it's like that trope of the college student who does just enough not to drop out of Harvard, but is really not a great student. Like, Foles does the bare minimum required to hold on to the starting job for now, outside of some fluke games in the postseason with Philadelphia and a Super Bowl for the ages. The nectar of the gods he was drinking out of Nick Foles in that Super Bowl. But outside of that, this is more the standard vintage Nick Foles performance, which you got in Monday night. It's the law of diminishing returns. And as the game rolled on and on and on and on, he got progressively worse. In the first half, Nick Foles was not terrible. Statistically, he was very good. He completed 80% of his passes. The Bears' offense didn't get a touchdown, but he had averaged 8 yards per pass attempt and didn't turn the ball over. That is an acceptable half of football by Nick Foles. And then halftime adjustments in the second half, voila! Nick Foles showed up. And he completed less than 65% of his passes in the second half, averaged barely 5.5 yards, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions. His passer rating in the second half, Foles, was 45.4. And as the enlightened young grasshopper knows, he's an average to below average starting quarterback, high-end backup Nick Foles, who has been shown to be fraudulent the more and more he plays. And that aura from the Super Bowl in Philadelphia is so powerful. It's so omnipresent that it seemingly makes up for what's actually happening right in front of your nose. And people say, oh, no, it's he's the Super Bowl guy. We can't bet. He's the Super Bowl guy. Nick Foles was the 27th ranked quarterback prior to the Monday Night Football game. So that's going to go even lower for Nick Foles. And it gets even better because we're going to play some more sound here. The palace intrigue, which came from the TV broadcast, Brian Griese on television relaying a conversation that he had with Nick Foles, that Nick Foles explained to the TV broadcast crew for ESPN that sometimes Matt Nagy sends in a play call from the sidelines that Nick Foles is already aware of that will not work because he will not have enough time after the snap. Now, this is a big revelation that just randomly got blurted out during a television broadcast about the relationship between Nick Foles and Matt Nagy. That is what's known as throwing your coach under the bus, is what that is. And we actually have some post-game reaction on that. Here's Matt Nagy responding to the report from the TV guys that Nick Foles admitted sometimes the play call he knows is going to be a disaster before the plays even run.
I don't know. You'll have to, whenever you talk to Nick, just kind of see where he's at with that. Nick and I have a pretty good relationship, and he hasn't said, he'll probably explain what he meant by that.
Okay. All right. Let's go to the horse's mouth. Here is Nick Foles. Nick, according to Brian Greasy on the TV broadcast, you announced that the play gets called in for the Bears and you think it's a disaster and you know you're not going to have enough time to execute said play prior to the play going down. Anyway, here's Nick Foles responding. We were asked to ask him, so the media did, and here's what Nick Foles had to say.
That was definitely a miscommunication with Brian and I. we do these pregame conversations the day before the game just to give them information. That conversation, Coach Nagy and I have a great conversation on the sidelines, so there might be times where we go through it beforehand and say, hey, what do you think? And there's times where you got to get the ball quick and whatnot. But in those situations, like Matt and I have a great relationship on the sideline with conversations and everything. I think, in that situation with Brian, it was just a miscommunication of words because that's not what I was trying to bring across in that conversation.
Was your BS detector going off? Because my BS detector was going off. I know bullcrap when I hear bullcrap. That's Pinocchio, the quarterback. Pinocchio, he plays for the Chicago Bears. Now, we actually have let's play the audio. This is what we're referring to. This is Brian Greasy on the Monday night broadcast on the Entertainment and Sports Network. This is what set off this wildfire in the Bears locker room.
We were talking to Nick Foles yesterday, and he said, sometimes play calls come in, and I know that I don't have time to execute that play call. And, I'm the one out here getting hit. Sometimes the guy calling the plays, Matt Nagy, he doesn't know how much time there is back here. And so that's something that they have to get worked out.
Yeah, okay. Multiple choice question, okay? Multiple choice question. A, do you think that Nick Foles is right, that was just a miscommunication? And that there's really nothing to it. He just used the wrong words. B, Brian Greasy, what he said was 150% correct. Of course, can't go more than 100. So it's 100% correct, part B of that. Or C, it's even worse than Nick Foles let on, right? Like, which of those? I'm going to go with B. I'm going to go with number or letter B as far as this is concerned. Now, to put the bow on this, the final point, the Bears find themselves in a bit of a pickle jar at this point because they are stuck with a shoddy quarterback in Nick Foles because of questionable roster management. They had hoped that Nick Foles would be like a fire starting under Mitch Trubisky. He would light a fire under Mitch Trubisky. It turns out the matchbox is soaking wet, and Trubisky ended up taking a nap as Nick Foles has been lollygagging around the field. Now, meanwhile, we should not totally dismiss the LA Rams because you can ram it all day. You can ram it all night. And the Rams certainly did that. This is the first notch in the belt of the 2020 Rams. What do I mean by that? The Rams were 0-2 against the varsity in the NFL. They were 4-0 against the JV. But they hadn't beaten a varsity team. The Bears, now, they count as a varsity team, not a great varsity team, but they count. Chicago had their signature win over Tom Brady and the Buccaneers in that Thursday night one-point thriller at Soldier Field. But this win over Chicago for the Rams is the first non-NFC East victory for Sean McVay's squad. Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey played well. The headliners on the Rams defense. And the Rams and Bears, though, are really spitting images of each other. What do I mean by that? They find themselves in this Bermuda Triangle. They're stuck between the devil and the deep blue sea because they're good enough to contend for wild card spots, but not good enough to be considered legitimate members of the upper society of the NFL, right? They can poke around a little bit at the upper crust, but they're not really there. And Jared Goff is a richer, slightly better version of Nick Foles. If you want to know what Jared Goff's going to be like 5-6 years from now, just watch Nick Foles because they're very similar. And the Rams, listen, the Rams' defense is pretty good. They've got some big-name players on there. Chicago's defense has some big-name players led by Khalil Mack. They've got some guys that can get it done as well. And on Monday Night Football, the Rams were much better. Both of these teams are on the hamster wheel of mediocrity. But now, keep an eye on Chicago. Keep an eye on the Bears because we got a lot of damage control. The spin doctors are playing as the Bears try to bury that story, literally, that we talked about with the Monday Night Football crew exposing a secret. See, these guys learn everything, these broadcasters, but they're not supposed to say that. You're not supposed to say that stuff on the air. That's supposed to be kept close to the chest is what you're supposed to do with that stuff. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. You want to talk about any of that? It is all fair game here. We will open up the phone lines at 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. And also on Twitter, at Ben Maller. You want to react in real time? Can't do that on the podcast. You can only do that if you listen live. Well, you could do it on the podcast, but I'll be sleeping when you send that stuff in usually. So Twitter, at Ben Maller. Instagram, Ben Maller on Fox. The Facebook page, Ben Maller Show. Follow us on there. We put videos up. Watch the videos. That helps us out. It's free to do. It's free to do, but it helps us out. So you think you had a crummy day? I can beat you. You think you had a crummy day? I got a story that will beat your crummy day. We'll get to that. And we will do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
There's nothing more powerful than the unified voice of the Maller Militia. Get the most out of the Ben Maller Show by following your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow me, Eddie Garcia, your humble sidekick, the voice of reason. I'm at Eddie on Fox. Geico, hello. At least I said Geico right. And now live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Would love to be a fly on the wall in the Bears locker room when somebody pulled aside Nick Foles and Matt Nagy and said, "Hey, you might wanna do some damage control here because of what happened on the broadcast." Oh, I love it. Love it.
I think that was an off the record conversation that
you think? Yeah. Yeah. You know, I've learned
He didn't make it clear enough that it was supposed to be an off the record conversation. You know, just quarterback to quarterback.
Yeah. Well, isn't that the way it goes, right, Getty? We've all heard the stories that these guys will say everything in the meetings. But as the broadcaster, you're supposed to say you heard it from somebody, not from the horse's mouth, right? Isn't that the rule? Like you can report some of that stuff. Like I hear there might be some friction on the play call, but you can't be the one saying that it came right from the starting quarterback of the Bears. But I love that this happened. Listen, this is good for us. It's bad. It's poison for the Bears. But this is good for us. I don't work for the Bears. This is another drama to play out in the NFL. This is great. All right, your sports source writes in, says, A-plus monologue, Ben. Nagy is overrated, labeled as an offensive genius, and has had a below-average offense the past few seasons. The broadcaster broke the circle of trust. It's actually the bubble of trust. It's the bubble of trust. Players are going to throw a temper tantrum and will ask to cancel interviews. Reminds me, although it's obviously different, remember when it was an ESPN game, actually. It was a Jets game against, I believe, the Patriots. Was it last year? Remember Sam Darnold?
The ghosts.
Yeah, seeing ghosts. And now they put special clauses in to avoid that from happening again, right? They don't want that, can't have that happen again. An actual honest moment a humanizing moment. You cannot have it. Robin Vegas writes in, here's a ringing endorsement. He says, a decent opening monologue. Your Rams did what they needed to do to get the W. He says, my Lions clutch scoring as time expired. What I'm looking forward to the most is Wednesday's Game 7 between your Dodgers and the Tampa Bay Rays. There's nothing like a Game 7. I've got my popcorn ready. You know, the only thing better than a Game 7 is when your team wins in Game 6 and there is no Game 7. That's the thing better than a Game 7. I've seen enough Game 7s. I don't need another Game 7. How about next year have a Game 7? I don't need a Game 7 this year. The burner account writes in, says, good job, Benjamin, as usual. Dennis Green said it best. 5-1, my ass. A-minus monologue. We have an update from Moving Man Matt, as he has sent photos there. The weather in the Rocky Mountains, not very friendly for Moving Man Matt there. I saw the photos of his rig, and he says he cannot wait. He's on his way to Southern California, and he will be checking in with the show shortly. He's been on an investigation trying to get down to this Mahler maneuver. He went to that truck stop in Colorado and was trying to get down to the bottom of it. Supermarket Steve says, I counted 3 bear puns in that Mahler monologue. He did the bare minimum, and he barely threw the ball, and I don't think it's a coincidence that he went with the better letter B for the answer choice. Could have mixed in hibernation instead of nap.
Wow.
Yeah. Thank you, Supermarket Steve. Well, no one's perfect. What do you want from me? Trucker Joe says, the Rams are a bunch of frauds to beat no one. They got 5 wins, lost to 2 dominant teams. Well, the 49ers are not a dominant team. Let's hold off on that, Cowboy. Trucker Joe, the 49ers are not a dominant team. They keep getting guys, though. I think they just go down, they put an ad on Craigslist, and they get guys to come play running back, and they go for 100 yards every week. It's crazy. That part's insane. And the Buffalo Bills didn't score a touchdown against the Jets, and the Rams should have beaten that team. That was the game was gift-wrapped to Buffalo. Everyone knows that. That terrible pass interference call late in the game that helped propel the Buffalo Bills to the win against the Rams after the Rams had come all the way back. Bill writes in the San Gabriel Valley. He says, oddly, any NFL player will tell Brian Griese anything revealing the rest of the season. He says the odds. Well, the odds, I think we've already addressed that, Bill. The odds are about 0. Yeah, exactly. Broadcast 101 for players. Be careful what you tell the press unless you want the whole country to hear it. Well, he's not part of the press, Brian Griese. He's a talking head on television. But I would say that's the greatest contribution that Brian Griese's had to broadcasting, is that particular statement that he made. I would say that's right at the top. So you think you had a crummy day? You think you had a crummy day? I can one-up you. I can one-up you. And this is, again, the wonderful world of gambling. Now, keep in mind, I like gambling. I'm a gambler. I don't bet as much as you might think I bet, but I can get just as worked up betting a little bit as I can betting a lot, which is a good thing. That's a good thing. So I bring this up because in that Monday night game, if you watch the Ram-Bears game, the Rams-Bears game, you might not have noticed this because it didn't happen until after the game, but Nick Foles was not very good, right? He was sucked, and the Rams won the game and all that stuff. But there was one rogue bettor over on DraftKings that was going to cash in $1 million prize. You know, we do these commercials for different things. $1 million prize. However, here's what happened. As Paul Harvey would say, now for the rest of the story. So the statisticians, the stat nerds, after the game got together, and they ended up taking away a sack from the Chicago Bears because they went back and they said, well, that's not actually a sack. And that dropped the payout, which would have been $1 million, to $3,078.
Oh, no. You get nothing. You lose.
Do you imagine? I'm assuming this guy watches. Some gamblers don't watch the games they don't want to watch because it's too nerve-wracking. But I'm assuming this guy was watching the game thinking, hey, I've won $1 million, right? $1 million. Do all these commercials. You're going to win $1 million. This guy was going to win $1 million. And then some geek, some Poindexter, went back in the postgame stats and corrected it, took a sack away from the Bears defense, and as a result of that, you go from $1 million to $3,000. That's it. Kaput. There you go. See, at least that didn't happen to you. That could have happened to you.
Oh, no!
I think we'd all agree. Wouldn't you rather just not be in the situation where you were about to win $1 million and just, you know, if you found out, hey, I won $3,000 on a Monday night game, you'd feel pretty good, right? You'd think that's great. But when you had $1 million sitting right on the table, right on the table, all those dead presidents right on the table, and then nothing.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Now, Ben, you were talking about somebody having a bad day. That could also, well, it's more than just the day, but in specific, Mike Nolan is the defensive coordinator of the Dallas Cowboys, and, well, he probably should have been fired by now. The defense for Dallas is so awful.
How awful are they?
Probably the worst in the league. But he was having some time with the media on Monday, and, things did not go very well for him.
Obviously, the frustration for him as well is just, you know, look, when he misses them, nobody.
He's now rubbing his eye.
I got something in my eye. Yeah. Just had some Tabasco on my finger and it went in my eye. That wasn't good.
Oh. Oh, idiot! He's now squinting. His eye is watering. And he's trying to stop his eye from being on fire.
Oh, an idiot! What is it? Three.
It's not been good times for Mike Nolan, your defensive coordinator.
Great moments in Cowboy history.
I mean, Roberto, this guy's a rookie around the hot sauce. Huh? Come on. Man.
The funny thing is he's making it worse because he keeps rubbing into the eyeball. Like, that's coaching right there, Eddie. He's rubbing the Tabasco in with his same finger.
And then he went to his mask. He was trying to rub it with his mask.
You got to bring some coronavirus in there.
You got to make adjustments with the Tabasco, Eddie. Halftime adjustments with the Tabasco. You got to be able to do it.
How about them Cowboys?
Oh, that is outstanding. One of the great moments in Cowboy history right there. That's your defensive coordinator right there. That's a guy you can rally around right there. The guy who hasn't gotten Tabasco sauce in their eyes. Who hasn't done that? Oh, that is a 10 plus. Is that is outstanding. Tremendous. Good job by all involved. And I only wish they still made those bloopers and football follies video. Can you imagine the Cowboys video they would make about what has already taken place here? Oh, it'd be great. It would be so good. So good. Anyway, all right. It is the Ben Maller Show as we press on here. Bloviating the overnight hours away. So full disclosure here. I had I don't know if it was a nightmare. It was like a night terror, but it was actually during the day. So I guess it was like day tremor. I didn't wet my bed though. I did not wet my bed. So here's my nightmare. So my nightmare is that Tony Gonsolin goes out and poops the bed on Tuesday night in Game 6 of the World Series, and then the Dodgers turn to Walker Buehler. They put all their chips in Walker Buehler for Game 7. He then, in my dream, which was, again, not a nightmare because it was during the day, it was a daymare, my daymare. So Buehler starts and is throwing like 100 miles an hour, striking everybody out right in the first inning, and is pitching great. And then in the second inning, he develops a blister. And he gets taken out of the game after like an inning. And then for some reason in my not nightmare, but because it was during the day, daymare, then Dave Roberts calls in Kenley Jansen out of the bullpen in the second inning. And Jansen gets wild, starts walking a couple of guys. And then before you know it, Randy Arozarena hits a grand slam and it's 4-0 Rays in Game 7
second inning.
I liked him in that spot. I really did.
Any chance that that happens? If that happens.
Oh, please, God.
No. Come on, Eddie.
Eddie. Roberto, it would be great for the show.
No, Eddie.
That's not happening. It's over tonight.
It's over?
Nah, I'm going to say there's.
Roberto said it's over. Roberto says it's over.
I'm confident it's going to be over tonight.
I can't wait to see Game 7.
Roberto, scale of confidence, 1 to 10. Where are you at, Roberto?
Tonight it's over. I'm at eight.
This is a man who declared the Dodgers wouldn't make it to the World Series.
Well, that's the beauty of Roberto. That's what we love about Roberto. Anyway,
come
that's
on.
A fan
down
right
down
there.
Down 3-1. I never came back from that kind of deficit. So.
That's right. All right, so where are you at on 1 to 10? 8?
Yeah.
All right, you want to ask me?
Yes, yeah, so where are you?
All right, on the Mather scale of confidence, 1 to 10, with 10 being the most confident your team's going to win, I'm at a 3. I'm at a 3. I fully expect them to lose.
That's a man who has lived through the curse of Bendino.
I expect them to lose, and I expect them to be game 7.
Roberto will learn.
Now, Eddie, you don't really have a dog in the fight here,
no.
But you're still on the Garcia scale of confidence that the Rays will win and the Dodgers will lose in game 6. Where are you at on that?
I'm about an 8.
So you believe that the Rays will win?
Yes,
and the
I believe
lose.
There
okay.
will be a game 7. I do think the Dodgers will win game 7.
At least that's a positive. Coopaloop, do you want to get in on this, Coop? Where are you at on the Dodgers in Game 6 Tuesday night in Texas?
I'm at a 6 that they close it out tonight.
So slightly above average chance that they'll close it out. Now, I'm only at a 3. I can see Gonsolin overthrowing, walking a bunch of guys, and the Rays get a run here and a run there, and they nick away at the Dodgers, and the Dodgers get tight Tookus syndrome, and they can't hit all of a sudden, and then, it's...
Dodgers are going to knock out Blake Snell out of the game. Second inning, he'll be out.
I think Dave Roberts is going to be like, it's just game 6. We got our guy in game 7. We'll be fine. We don't.
Yeah. That's the way they're treating it.
Listen, I know.
I would throw. What's wrong with throwing Walker Buehler out there and just not even getting to a game 7? Just throwing him out there. Like,
you know why? The numbers tell them that this
3 days rest.
That's right. The optimum performance.
If the Dodgers are up 4-2 in the 7th or 8th inning, I see Walker Buehler coming in to close it out.
Ooh, I like that.
That's a spicy meatball right there.
And then if somehow he blows it, they're totally screwed.
But
go for it, Roberto.
Yeah.
Steve, go for it.
The Red Sox did that a couple years ago with Sale, right? Didn't they bring Sale in? Or was it Price they brought in? One of those
Price.
Guys.
Yeah, I think
Price,
it was
they brought Price in there. Yeah, and the Giants.
Did
that's
with Bumgarner. Yeah.
Mad Bum, the greatest postseason player. I only wish every Dodger could be like Mad Bum.
Well,
that guy was amazing.
Actually, Walker Buehler's on that list with Mad Bum, actually. First 9 starts in the postseason.
Need to see more. Win game 7. Then I'm in. Win
no,
game
no,
seven,
no, game
I'm
7
in.
Tonight.
Oh, okay, right, there you go. Game 6. There you go. All right, we'll have the World Series pick, and will this be the final World Series pick? And we're going to get to that. Here is the Who Am I game. And
who?
Here it is. James Robinson of Jacksonville is averaging 68.1 yards per game on the ground. Since the merger, I have averaged the most yards per game by an undrafted rookie. See, that's the thing. James Robinson wasn't drafted for the Jags. He's averaging 68.1 yards per game this season. Since the merger, I have averaged the most yards per game by an undrafted rookie. Who am I? That's the question. The answer next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Raccoons, skunks, porcupines, and owls are all nocturnal, but none of them can support our show on social media, so we need your help. Go to facebook.com/Ben Maller Show, and on Instagram, go to @BenMallerOnFox, and you can contribute content to weekly features such as Ask Ben, Lame Jokes, and more. And now live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios, it's Ben Maller.
We got the World Series pick'em, maybe for the final time, we hope. I'm getting email from people. Hey, why are you being so negative?
It's over. It's over tonight, Ben. It's over.
All right. I hope you're right. Listener Jen writes and she says, stop with the negative vibes, Maller. You're calling up bad karma. Andrea should warn you. Be careful what you wish for. Have faith in your team.
Oh, my God. Has she never listened to the show before?
Well, I wrote back. I said, listen, I got PTSD. I've watched too many of these Dodger teams who should have won World Series. Shoulda, coulda, woulda, but didn't because they were choking dogs and they blew it and they find new creative ways to blow these games. I hope it's different. We'll find out. We're going to find out this week whether it's different or not. And hopefully tonight, Tuesday night, that's it. All right, here we go. The Who Am I game. So James Robinson, he's an undrafted rookie for Jacksonville. He's averaging 68.1 yards per game this season. Since the merger, I have averaged the most yards per game by an undrafted rookie. Who am I? Of course, that's obviously just as a rookie. It doesn't matter what you do after that. That is the question. What is the answer? Paulie D is going with Priest Holmes as his answer. Who else? Bobby the Brain Heenan from Rob in Vegas. Let's see. Page down here. Betty White from Tortilla Man Tony, the NFL's all-time rushing leader. Philly Rob, the cheesesteak god, is going with Corey Clement, Super Bowl 52 champion, just like Nick Foles. All right, who else do we have? The Great Ramen Noodles from The Real Martin and the boys at the airport in Denver. Double O Mexicans going with Craig Ironhead Hayward as his answer. Dominic Rhodes, guessed by Arik in Minnesota. Buckwheat from Just Josh, that's his answer. Al Bundy, tossed out by Oscar. The burner account says the answer is Mike Nolan's hot sauce eyes, which makes for a tremendous video. Jason in Denver, not video, image. Actually, there is video. I looked at the video online. There's video of that if you want to watch what happened. Everything's on a Zoom call, so everything's recorded via video. Jason in Denver is going with Rex Burkhead as his answer. The Midnight Walker. The Viking apologist says the Nigerian nightmare Christian Okoye is the selection. Julio's also going with Priest Holmes. Dick Van Dyke from Raider Freak. Darren Sproles from Manic Mike, that's his answer. Screaming Possum is going with Bob Saget as the selection. The original El Guapo says Carlos Hyde is the way to go. Do you have an answer? The Mallard prop guy got it wrong, which I'm happy about. Do you have the answer, Eddie?
I might. When in doubt, when you're talking about an undrafted running back, I always go Arian Foster.
Arian Foster. That's a fine guess, Eddie, but unfortunately it's incorrect. The correct answer, LeGarrette Blount. LeGarrette Blount with the Buccaneers. He averaged 77.5 yards per game. That the record, which leads us into... That's right. It's a World Series pick'em. Roberto... You are up first here, Roberto. Go ahead.
I'm going with World Series MVP, Corey Seager, baby.
All right. Kubalu.
Mookie Betts.
All right. Eddie.
Randy Arozarena.
All right. You can take him. I'm going to jinx some Tampa Bay Rays. Give me Brandon Lau. I'll take him. Jinx him. Mallard jinx in effect. Curse of the Bambino on Joey Wendell. I'll jinx him also. Back to you, Eddie.
Max Muncy.
Max Muncy. Kubalu.
I will go with Bellinger. Huh? Cody Bellinger.
Okay. Roberto, the back.
Let me jinx Kevin Kiermaier.
All right. One more.
G-Man Choi.
All right. Coop.
Justin Turner.
Eddie.
Manuel Margot.
Damn it. I was going to jinx him. All right. Austin Meadows. I don't need to jinx him. He sucks. G-Man Choi.
Already picked.
Oh, really? All right.
Hunter Renfro.
Renfro. There you go. Hunter Renfro.
All of them. Jinx all of them.
Thank you. The whole team I want to jinx.